Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I think I'm like a cheap Rebel Wilson. Like, all the joy of Rebel without the money. You think, well, when I've gotten to where I always thought I would get, the sadness will go away, but sometimes it amplifies it, which I found in my case. Can you please put in the bio of this show, Raw with Keshni Kemp and Tanya Hennessy chatting depression and sausage rolls?
I promise you.
You know that song that goes, galumph went the little green frog one day? What fucking frog goes galumph?
Hi, I'm Keshni Kemp and I'm the editor of Who Magazine. This is our podcast, Raw Talks. Raw and unedited, we'll peel back the layers to reveal the friend, the mum, the wife, the partner, the person behind the brand.
Today on the podcast, we speak to Tanya Hennessy about struggling through depression, imposter syndrome, and using the dark stuff to inspire the light. Tanya Hennessy joins us this morning. Hi, Tanya.
Hey, girl.
Thanks for coming in.
I had to. You made me.
I know I did. You're a busy girl. You're a busy, busy girl. You started in radio. You did the, you've been a comedian. You've been back in radio. You've written books. Mm-hmm. What is the most fulfilling for you?
Oh, God. Everything. Is right. That weird?
No.
I like doing everything. Mm-hmm. I like writing because it's by yourself. Like, how many issues am I going to bring up during this podcast?
We'll get there. We'll dig deep.
Yeah, I know. I'm like nervous. Yeah, I like writing because it's like you're by yourself and they're all like your ideas. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when you work in radio, not that your ideas get watered down, but they actually get enhanced because you work with different people, but your voice sort of somewhat gets it changes. Whereas in print, it's your version of events, which I quite enjoy.
Or you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in short, I'm a narcissist.
So you had your first video that went viral that most people will know you for. They're so friggin' funny. They're so funny, your videos. There are 10 things people say to your difference between.
Yes.
I mean, your first one was the differences between 18-year-olds and 30-year-olds. Mm-hmm. You shot that in 2015 or put it live.
15, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but you'd been thinking about it for years and you didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because I didn't want to be bad. It's like, oh, what if I'm not funny? What if, like, it doesn't work? What if I'm not good? I'm just going to move this mic, really relaxing. There we go. yeah, I thought, like, what if it's shit? What if no one likes it? What if I'm embarrassed myself? Mm-hmm. Like, because I'd done stand-up and I felt like I really embarrassed myself doing that and I just didn't want to put myself through that again.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm so glad I friggin' did.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, totally. I guess the most asked question for you is, like, how do I grow a social audience?
Yeah. Yeah. Or, like, why don't you exercise? That's from my mum. You know, I have, like, migraines and she goes to me, you know what will really kill your migraines? If you have a baby. And I'm like, oh, woman, you are desperate for grandkids. Like,
you will 100% get a migraine confirmed when you have a child.
Right.
It's not reverse.
Yeah, but sometimes I see people's kids, like yours, on Instagram and I'm like, oh, my God, I want kids.
Yeah, but this morning he was throwing the massive tantrum because he saw these muffins I baked for him and he wanted that for breakfast and not Weet-Bix. So
relatable.
Daily. Yeah, true.
Do you ever, like, go, like, you want to laugh but you also have to discipline them?
Yeah, totally. I find it really hard. Like, we went swimming and he's supposed to do everything every other child is doing. And I say, do the alligator clap, we do the clap and all the other kids are doing it and he's like, no. And it's like, how could that – so funny
he's
that
got
you're
his
just
own
like,
soul.
I don't want to do that today. I want to do like a different song. And to say, no, you do the
alligator song. We're doing choreography.
And enjoy it.
I will have a stage child. I will be putting you in fake tan and a wig. We will be doing Toddlers and Tiaras. Bring back that show, I say. Whatever happened to that?
I love that show. Have you seen Them All Grown Up?
Mm-mm.
A girl. I'll send you some pics.
That's what I need. That's what I need from you.
Yeah. So when that first video went off, did you kind of think, all right, this is it. This is what I'm going to do 100% of the time, or I'll just give it another crack and see if I can get it again?
Well, I thought, well, I've got this well, Jules Lund told me to do it, and he was like, keep going, Tanya, keep going. And that's, mm-hmm. like, the best advice I could ever give someone, keep going. I know it sounds weird, but it's true.
momentum begets momentum. Positive begets positivity.
Oh, I should be on a podcast with crystals.
Girl.
Manifest, get your mantras out. But kind of. I'm like kind of a manifester, like low key. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's just like I've got to keep going because, you know, I've had a lot of failure in my life and I got a little bit of success and I was like, I've got it now. I'm not going to let go.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to keep going because all I ever wanted to do was tell stories and be heard. And for the first time, I was being heard.
Yeah.
And I was telling something that was authentic and truthful to me and it was resonating and it was exciting and mm-hmm. it still is.
Mm-hmm.
But I still remember that feeling of like, oh my God, you know, like millions of people are engaging with this and enjoying it. And I don't know, as a performer, that's all you want. And
totally.
It took me to 29 to find it.
Yeah.
Like it was a long fucking 29 years ago. Like I was like, someone look at me, love me.
And how did you feel about like reinventing, like, you know, chasing those numbers again and again? Like, was that pressure pretty high? I mean, a viral vid is not something you can guarantee.
Not anymore.
No.
Don't you reckon? Like,
yeah, totally.
People looking digital, like the, it's so different now. I definitely feel differently about digital now because I think I did this video called like the realistic makeup tutorial and I was like on Vogue.
I love that video.
Yeah. I watched it back the other day and I was like, this is not for me, but I'm very critical of myself. You know, like, it amassed so many millions and millions of views. Like, I know Ellen saw it. My friend's a producer for Ellen, and it went through her offices, and, like, it went crazy viral. Mm-hmm. My life changed from that video. And I don't feel the same about digital as much as I used to.
Mm-hmm. And did
our
you find
– changed.
Oh, yeah, and it's so difficult being controlled by that, right?
Yes.
Being controlled and as a creative, as in for an outlet, for your creative, you know, genius to be controlled by an algorithm.
Yes, genius is
really,
the correct word.
It's really difficult. It's so hard.
But then they go, you know, you speak to the platforms and you go, oh, you know, it's not going as well mm-hmm. as it was a couple of years ago. And they're like, well, you know, we're really enjoying long form. And I'm like, well, I don't want to make long form for the sake of long form. I want to make Helen's piece of string. If my story is 10 minutes, then it'll be 10 minutes, but it's 12. Seconds, that's 12 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't like being told by a platform that's making money from me how to create my content.
Mm.
I don't enjoy that.
It seems like it defeats the purpose. You know,
yes.
Have these creators create content, but then we'll dictate exactly what it looks and sounds like.
Yeah.
A what? It's a bit crazy. So you weren't really from, I mean, just you were working in radio and you made this transition into entertainment and obviously you've always had comedic bones and blood in you.
Yeah. I have a degree in theatre. I went to performing arts high school.
Right. So you did the background work.
Singer, like right. Ukulele in a car.
Oh, well, in that case, can you whip one out for us?
I would. I was going to bring my uke and I was like, oh, that's obnoxious.
I must admit, if I had to sit in the foyer with a ukulele, it would have been a little alarming, but I would have been enjoyed. I would have enjoyed it. I promise
you. I know.
You.
I've got about three songs I can do on it because I'm going to do a live show this year, so I think I might sing in it.
Love it.
Yeah.
So when you made this video, all of a sudden you're kind of thrust into our industry, this entertainment industry. I mean, you're in it with radio, but it looks different when you're talent.
Not into Toowoomba.
And it's like a bit different when you're like the creative star of the videos. Mm-hmm. How did you find that transition into this world? Did you feel like it was welcoming? Did you feel like it was a bit scary?
I was overwhelmed by it because I have imposter syndrome. Do you have that?
Oh, yes.
Okay, great.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah. So I was constantly like, I shouldn't be here.
Yeah.
They're going to find out I'm a fraud.
I don't think that ever leaves you. Especially for women, I think it's always a thing. I mean, a lot of girlfriends I know that I've spoken to about it, we all feel it. Sometimes it just manifests in different ways.
Yeah.
Like, can I actually do this? Oh, shit, I just did it. But can I do this bit?
Again.
Oh, shit, I just did – yeah.
Can again. I repeat it?
Yeah.
Like, can I
yeah.
live up to my own expectations? Should I stop now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so when I was, like, in the thick of it, I was doing castings in LA. Like, I was in Comedy Central – in LA with the Hollywood sign behind me. And I was like, how the fuck did I get here? Like, I was in the back streets of Tribeca with my US management and these American girls were like, Tanya, can we get a photo? We love your stuff. And my managers were like, whoa, like, this isn't a back street in Tribeca, like
wow.
in New York. Like,
mind blowing.
Yeah. And I was in these like crazy meetings with Funny or Die, which I still have a relationship with. And yes, long story, but I can't talk about it. Yeah, like I still have great relationships with people overseas, particularly in the US. I think my comedy resonates there for some reason. I think I'm like a cheap Rebel Wilson.
Oh my God.
Like, all the joy of rebel without the money. So, yeah, like, they're great over there, but the imposter thing was just constant. And I was like, when are they going to find out? Or do they know that I just fluked this? And so the whole time was like, push and pull and push and pull. And I actually went back onto my antidepressants during that time because I felt extremely uncomfortable with success, even though I'd been chasing it for a really long time.
That's really strange, isn't it? That you kind of like, when it's the imposter on a different kind of level when you're in that state. But even though you get there, you're still kind of like, I'm the one that shouldn't be in this room. It's your room, you know? Yeah. Like, it's bizarre. Like,
I'm not good enough.
Yeah.
I'm not worthy. I still feel that way. Like, sometimes when I do TV, TV is the hardest, I think, because that's the thing I've always, I like, it's always like the hardest one, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Maybe it has been for me because I don't look like a traditional television presenter. I don't present like a traditional television presenter. But I studied at NIDA to be a presenter. And out of my whole graduating class, I was the only person who was presented on television, which is even weirder. But when I do that, that's when I have to like put a game face on and pretend.
A lot of comedians, the best, and I keep calling you a comedian. I don't know if you're comfortable with that title. It's just part of who you are and what you do, a part of. Have a lot of like the lightness is inspired by the dark stuff. Is that the same for you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I reckon like every stand up and every comedian is like sad as fuck.
Yeah, well, it's true, isn't it? There's like the real – that I suppose that's why we can connect with the humor and relate to the humor.
Well, because I think most comedians are really observant people. They watch, they listen, they look. They're very considered. They're very existential, looking at the world, looking at themselves. Where do I fit into this world? And it's a deep sort of thought process that rotates around, and then it comes out the mouth as a reflection of society, and that's what comedy is. So I think you have to go, yeah. So I teeter on that edge a lot. And I think I'm writing the second book, and I think there will be more of that in there, but I got to balance it because I think that my job is really to entertain. And I want people to be happy. I want to make people happy because life is fucking hard.
Yeah. And how do you balance the two? Like you're and we'll get back to that book number two in 1 second because that's very exciting. How do you balance like, you know, wanting to entertain and wanting to bring the light and obviously that you struggle with being in the front all the time too? Like how do you balance the two? Do you have to like give yourself a strong fucking pep talk every time you get out there and then when you're not in character? Like how do you do that?
I don't know. I give myself permission to be sad and cry and I don't know. You know, there's like huge celebrities like Selena Gomez who are like very have intense issues with depression and mental health. And mental health doesn't discriminate. And you think, well, when I've gotten to where I always thought I would get, the sadness will go away. But sometimes it amplifies it, which I found in my case. Oh, fuck you and your fucking podcast. But yeah, no, I definitely, like, I have such dark elements to my personality. Like, always struggle with mental health. Like, my depression is real. But the other thing that I manage with it is that I go, without this, I wouldn't be who I am. So I kind of just have to embrace when I'm a down and annoying and overthinking because those parts make me who I am. And I like who I am.
And everybody else does. That's why you've got such an audience.
Sometimes I hate myself.
It's great for people like you to talk about this kind of stuff because we often see, you know, people often see, you know, people killing it like yourself, like Selena Gomez, like celebrities who are on the front, on the, you know, from what they can see, absolutely killing it. But it's so common to also struggle. So that's great that you're able to talk about that and you're willing to talk about that because it gives people something to relate to.
Yeah, because when I grew up, and same with you, there was no one who looked like me on television. There was no one who sounded like me being reflected back to me in anything. So I'm like, I've got to be that person for somebody else.
Yeah.
So they go, oh, I'm like that. I can do this.
And you haven't conformed. You've been yourself from the beginning and you've kind of been yourself, which is great.
No, but I thought I would change.
But it's great you didn't.
No.
That's great.
But I was like, damn it. Why didn't I? Like, I thought, oh, like, if I get a bit of money, maybe I'll get my shit together. Bam, bam. In maternity jeans. Not pregnant. Just comfy. Do you know what I mean? Like, I thought I would change.
A lot of people do, and it takes away the shine of the individual because they just become a carbon copy of somebody else.
I don't want to be. Because I look at some people and I go, oh, that's great and I love that you represent you. I would never shade anybody else, but that's not right for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want to be me and I don't know how to be anyone else. And yeah. I kind of like that I'm rough around the edges and confused and conflicted and up and down, and that's what real women are, and I want to reflect that back. And I mm-hmm. think there's a lack of that in the media, so I'm trying to bring that and be like, this is how a real woman speaks. This is how a real woman is. This is how a like we're complex people
mm-hmm.
and I want to show that complexity.
We love you for it. On your and your fans on social as well, they loved you for it too. A lot of the feedback I've been going through, some of the comments and things, like creeping hard on your social.
I never creep on my socials.
I love it. I really love it because they're so dedicated to you and to your message and to what you represent. So that must make you feel good.
Yes, but because I've been trolled so much, I'm very careful with the comments, and I had to go through a lot of like psychological help with comments and stuff, because sometimes I would weight the negative comments, like give more weight than the positive ones. And then someone said to me, if you listen to the negative, you've got to listen to the positive. But if you listen to the positive, you've got to listen to the negative. Mm-hmm. So I sort of don't listen to any of them.
Right. Well, there's a lot of good ones in there. So when you get the chance.
Because, well, you know, if I'm having a real good day, I get on there and someone says, you're fat and fucked. I can't have a good day because I'm too sensitive.
Yeah,
it fucks me. And people go, it's just the internet. I'm like, well, that's where I live.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I don't like that as an excuse. And I hate this, like, haters gonna hate. It's so dismissive to people's feelings and emotions. And I think if you ever say haters gonna hate to a teenager or anything about bullying online to a teenager, you're actually really dismissive of their feelings and not validating them. And that really could lead somewhere really dangerous. Mm-hmm. And I encourage people to not use that language around anyone who's being bullied online. Listen to them. Don't say, oh, that's just how the internet is. It's like a fucked thing to say to someone who's going through something really real.
Yeah, it means something to someone, therefore it's valid.
Yes.
Yeah.
And like I challenge anyone to go through life whilst being online, being told you're fat and ugly and incompetent and untalented over and over again. Like, it's just a tough thing to go through. So I can't imagine being a child going through that, which is why I work with Are You Okay Day. Like something needs to change.
Yeah, yeah. You were saying, I have said to me before in private conversations about that haters page that someone set up about you.
Mm-hmm.
How did you navigate that? So you were working radio at the time and someone made a page.
I hate Tanya Hennessy.
Oh, my gosh. Who has the time for starters?
I was literally like low-key flattered. It's like, other you. I was like, someone knows how to spell my full name.
How did you deal with that?
Not well.
Yeah.
Because the comments were on there, like every single day when I was on air, they were like narrating like what they thought of me and their opinions of me. So getting on air every day, I was like, I don't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you have to. You're an entertainer. Like, that's what you're paid to do.
So as you're dealing with that now to protect yourself, just to stay off the comments.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it hurt too much. And it went down for like 6 months and I was like, this is crap. This is awful.
What do you do when you're having those days where you just feel like, fuck it?
I lean into it.
Yeah, right. Feel it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like watch TV and like have a cry and be braless and not see anyone and shut the world out and then start again.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like and I talk about it to people. Like I'll talk about it to my mom or my boyfriend or my best friends, because sometimes if you share it, it feels like it's there, it's tangible, it's real, it's not just in your head. Mm-hmm. I really think articulating it is really good. Plus, I see a psych really regularly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you feel like somebody else being able to point that out in you and be able to kind of be a sounding board and hear you out is probably the best kind of support for you.
Yeah. And to give you like real things, like, do you think you thinking that is proactive or destructive? And you're like, oh, it's destructive. Yes. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Like, I remember being on a Skype call to my psychologist underneath a table at Allen and Unwin the day before my book came out, being like, what if people hate it? And she's like, what if people love it?
And you're like,
I was like, I didn't figure that. Now you've caused more issues, you fucking bitch. But no, she was great. She like, you know, that, but like, I like do it. Seeing a psych is great. It's sort of like, you like talking about yourself? They like money. get into that. Like, you know what I mean? But it really just helps you like get shit out.
Yeah.
Just even once you talk about it. Plus, they've been paid to listen. It's like your friend who's like, oh, fuck, I got a kid to pick up. You know? Like, they have to listen.
Yeah. And the first book went really well.
Yes. And I was like, just because in my mind, because I like to, you know, exaggerate things and, you know, think the world's going to come down. I was like, everyone's going to hate me. This is going to be the worst thing ever. Opposite. Thank the fuck.
Yeah.
King Lord.
Did you take the time to sit in that for a minute?
No, because I was like, next. How can I get this option for it being a TV show? Which it kind of maybe is.
Oh, pump the brakes.
Long story, but kind of not, but kind of yes, but it's a process. Everything's okay. A process.
Of course. Yeah. Of course.
It's like that mountain. What's it called when you have the iceberg theory? You see the little bit of the iceberg, right. But underneath it is like all the hard work and everything.
Yeah. So
people see the iceberg and go, God, it looks great. And I'm here going, it's hard.
I got all this work of ice.
I'm trying to lose weight and everything is hard, but it's also good.
You've spoken about that too, about body image and how you don't want to focus on that every day. You don't want to get up and think about your body every day.
No.
Not going well? Or, yep, going well.
That's shit. Do you do this? Do you stress eat?
I don't stress eat. I actually think that after I have my kid, I kind of care less about that stuff. Yes. I just want to be healthy. I want to have the energy to get through my day and then I'm cool. Be dead by the end of it. Of course, I don't want to be, I don't want to obsess over it either.
Exactly. It's just not worth the time.
Not worth the time. So I just want to feel good and be able to get through the day and chase my kid around, which is
exactly
constant.
And be able to do it instead of being oh, God.
Yeah, do that.
People keep asking you, when are you going to have your next one?
Yes. In-laws are Egyptian, so that was always going to happen.
You remember how I told you my version of what I thought your in-laws would be like?
Yes!
They would just walk around singing Walk Like an Egyptian. And they write in hieroglyphics and you're like, yeah, that's not how Egyptians are, you racist.
Exactly.
Your husband's gorgeous.
Thank you.
Not in a weird way. Is it weird to say that?
And I'm into that.
Yeah.
I like that.
When people compliment my boyfriend, yeah. I'm so thank you so much. I have done well.
Tick.
Yes. But whenever I say it to someone else, I'm always like, oh, do I come off as
creepy? No, I'm into it. I'm into that. So thank you. He'll love that too.
Mm-hmm.
Just cut this paste for and paste it for him later.
Because he won't listen to the whole thing.
No, he won't.
My boyfriend won't consume any of my content either.
Seriously.
What video did you like? And he's like, oh, the one with the nurse or dentist.
Or dentist.
He's like, the one where you had a shirt on. And I was like,
all of them.
He's like, the one with the striped shirt. I'm like, mate, you're not narrowing it.
What do your parents or family say when people ask what you do? Do they know what you do? Are they able to say, she does X? My dad would not have the slightest clue of what it is I actually do between the hours of 9 till whenever I finish.
What does he say?
She works in the medias. You know what I mean?
How old is he? 100.
No idea. Do your family get it?
Yes and no. My mum's a librarian.
Love her.
Can you believe? I have the counter opposite. Her job is to be quiet, my job is to talk. We are so uncomfortable when we're around each other. No, she's great. She's the warmest, most maternal, best mother I think ever. And I'm worried about being a mother because I can't live up to her. She gave me the best childhood. So much so that I wish I was a child every single day to go back to how great my life was as a child. Ooh, put that down for the psych to discuss later. Peter Pan syndrome. No, but she gets it and she's abnormally proud. The woman cries. She's on Valium just to live because she's so psyched for me.
That's so great.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Ultimate cheerleader.
Yeah, but she's always like,
ah! I think
I'm you can't come to events. You stop crying. Stop.
I think you would be the funnest mum when you want to do that. Because I know you do want to do that. So when you want to do that, I think you would be the best. You'd be so fun. The other kids would be so jealous.
I don't know.
You would be.
My boyfriend, I was about to call him my husband. I was jump the gun there. My boyfriend will be a great father. Mm-hmm. That's the reason I think I could be a mum.
Yeah.
But I want to, what's it called? Seahorse it. Men have the babies. So I'm sort of can't you just do it?
Well, it's you can in some countries.
Well, Carrie. That's true.
Yeah.
So. I just don't want to be pregnant and birth it. I just want to have it.
Oh, just give it to you.
Yeah, at mm-hmm. 16.
Right.
And it can do the dishes and pay some rent.
You know? I thought you wanted to go back and have it when you were 16.
No.
Yeah, that'd be great. And your man's been a constant support for you. You've spoken about him before and how he's kind of your go-to when you're not feeling great. What has he kind of taught you about yourself?
He's the nicest man. I'm such a dick compared to him. we have a quite a reversed gender relationship in that he's 7 years younger than me. So there's that. He cooks and cleans. He's a chef. And I've never made the bed. I've never turned the oven on. I don't know where the iron is. He irons everything. He, like, steam cleans the floor, which I think is cool. It's just, like, not my fault. He's like, you're a mess. And I'm like, well, you're cleaning up after me, so who's the idiot here? Like, like, my one job is to unpack the dishwasher. I'm like a baby. I'm like a child in my own
home. Schedule on the wall. Yeah. And yours is, like, one column.
Yeah, and I've got stickers. Like, he's like, well done. No, he's very – he loves to be – like, he has a lot of pride in the house and pride in – because I just don't care. I'm like, I'm creative. but, no, he is, like, kind and genuine and has this, like, soul that I wish I had. Like, I'm like, I wish I was like you. You are the person I wish I could be. And he educates me every day about kindness.
So that is the nicest thing I've heard anybody say about their partner ever.
Oh, yeah, he's amazing. You should come over for dinner because he'll, come. Like, cook you a full meal.
Can I bring my hungry child? He eats a lot.
Bring that
Actually,
kid.
No, I'll leave him. We can have a drink.
No, I want the kid.
Okay, so all right, I'll bring him. What's the biggest misconception about you?
That's a good one. Sometimes I think people think I'm an accident. No, I mean, like, that everything happened to me happened by accident, but I think it's very planned and not planned.
Do you think people think that? I don't think people think that. Like, you're out there.
Oh, okay.
Creating I don't think people think that. I mean, maybe I'm alone, but maybe because I'm such a fan of yours, but I don't think people think that you got there by accident. You work. Okay. You work. You work.
All right. Yeah, I do work, and to the detriment of my adrenal, my system. I don't know, what would be something that people wouldn't know about? Well, I'm a massive overthinker. No, people know that. I really like true crime. I really am into the media industry, like, and radio and the – like, I love TV ratings, radio ratings. I'm really into that sort of side. Is that a – no one would know that, I guess. I can't read an analog clock.
You're a creative person, so you need that constant creative outlet. And I kind of have a bit of that in me. Like, I get bored quickly unless I have a creative outlet in some way, in some form.
I think that's why you're so successful. Like, you're like a hustle. You're like me. You're under hustle.
Under hustle. Because you constantly kind of need that. And I think a lot of other people are like that, where it's not even so much about, you know, hitting those specific career milestones. It's just about challenging your brain.
Self.
Yeah, and self. How do you kind of, like, challenge yourself in different ways? Obviously, you've got to have a job, but how do you push different parts of your brain to keep yourself kind of stimulated? What do you do?
Oh, I go, oh, what's something interesting I could do on air? Oh, that's... Okay, like, for example, someone named their kid Disney, and I thought that was really interesting. So I was like, what's an angle on that? Like, I don't want to do, does your kid have a funny name? Or call up and I'll guess your kid's name. Or so I was like, okay, let's do 13, 10, 60. Can we cast the Little Mermaid from our listenership? So I tried to get an Ariel, an Ursula, a Flounder, a Sebastian and an Eric on the air.
Amazing.
And we got all but Flounder, strangely enough.
I played Flounder once in a play when I was a child, so I could have helped
you out. Technically. I thought maybe there might be a dog called Flounder, or, you know, like, those types of things are exciting. Or I found out this stat that if your voice goes high, it means you're lying. So I thought I would get a vox pop of our radio show with people like, what do you think of Tanya Dillon and Angus? And people were like, I love it.
You know, like, repeaters
are here. Yeah, like, I love it. And so, like, I compiled a bunch of that. And that is sort of like taking a concept but going, what else can I do with this? What's basic? Great. Next. Can't do that. What's new? And, like, the other day I did a vlog of how I did my life because I've never done that before, and that was challenging. And sometimes I talk more vulnerably, and I know that's challenging for me. And I'm learning to write television at the moment, and that's challenging because I can be myself. Okay, but how do you write other characters? How do you do an A and a B storyline? So I'm doing Judd Apatow's masterclass on learning to write for television. And, like, fuck.
So your challenge basket is pretty full. I was thinking one thing maybe. Like, you've got, like, 17 things on the go for the challenge.
I hate creating boring stuff. I want to challenge myself, and I want audiences to be constantly excited by what I'm doing, going, oh, that's cool, or that's interesting, I didn't see it that way. Like, I'm doing a live show and I'm doing a bunch of breakdowns of kids' songs, and I'm just trying to go, well, you know, how can I make the audience see these kids' songs in a different way? You know that song that goes, galumph went the little green frog one day? What fucking frog goes galumph?
Like, what kid, like, if you went around the, you know, went, hey, what sound does a horse make? Nay, what sound does a cow make? Moo. What sound does a fucking frog make? No one's going, ah, galoomph, like, ribbit. And then at the end of the song, it goes, but we all know frogs go la-di-da-di-da. What, no, which one is it? Galoomph or is it la-di-da-di-da? I'm here going, it's probably ribbit, you fuckers. That's how I spend my day.
I love it. Your brain is like
weird.
It's amazing. Yeah. I'm real into it. So book number two is on its way.
Yes, I've not officially signed, but all but signed with Alan and Unwin, which is who did the first one, and they're like great people, and the publisher and the publicist, like they're young, they're like, I think Kelly's the same age as me, so 33, and publicist 29, and it's, yeah, perfect.
And what direction do we go? Do we not let him speak about that just yet?
It's a parody. A book,
oh, it is?
A parody book.
You have just moved to Sydney.
Thank the Lord.
How are you finding it? You're great. In the city. You love it?
Yeah, I was commuting from Newcastle for a year.
Oh, so anything would be better than that?
Oh, God, it was like so much. And I got so many sporting phones. Not like just for like 10 over, 5 over or whatever. Yeah, just because if you travel that much, it's just what happens. But yeah, so I'm just like in Dulwich Hill. Mm-hmm. I'm really close to Pyrmont. I'm close to World Square. I'm like in and out. I can do jobs quicker. Mm-hmm. I'm available to do more stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
The thing is, the work-life balance thing, I don't understand that, and I want to get better at it and have that, but I just don't, because I just really like to work. I really like to make things. I really like to be creative. And the only time I'm happy and fulfilled is when I'm working, and my boyfriend Tom is always like, you know, if we go away for Easter or whatever and we're just like, buy a beach, I'm not into it. And he's like, oh, go make a video, go film something, go write something. It's annoying.
Yeah. Get out of my face.
Yeah. Like, because creativity is like a muscle. And when you use it so often, when you don't use it, you notice it.
Totally. I'll have times, and I'm not in any way the same way as you, but I'll have times I'll be at home and, you know, I'll put X to bed or whatever and Jace is out, and I think, like, what, I should be doing something right now. I'm sure there's something I should be doing. Like, I definitely should do that. I'm constantly like, you just never chill.
That's the overachiever.
You never chill out.
Yeah. But do you also think that's like a state of how millennials are, or how we are as a society? We work in the media. Like, is this relatable to everyone? Like, does everyone feel this way?
I don't know. I think I've got friends who can switch off a little better than I can.
Mm.
And even in like in a massage or something, like if you have a time to go and do that, I'm still like getting massaged and thinking about, no, I've got to do this and this is on the list and then I have to do this and this would be great when this is done. That will mean that I can do that then after that.
That's how I think too.
It's insane.
And you don't want to be like that.
No, but how do you get out of it? Tell me, Tanya. Tell me the answer.
Well, I went to a place that you recommended on Insta.
Really?
Venustas.
Oh, my God, this place.
So good.
It is the best place. It's paradise. You went there?
Yeah.
Oh, Paddington. It was the best thing ever. It goes down as the top five best things I've ever done.
Mm-hmm.
Birthing my child, going to Venustas.
What would else be on that list?
Marrying my husband.
Oh, see, I would have like, got him like a sausage roll or something. Haven't you ever had like a really fucking good sausage roll and you're like, holy shit.
No, I'm down for donuts. That's more my vibe.
Yeah. I mean, I'm like a combo girl. Like I would go
one each.
Yeah. Yeah. Or a Lamington. Like bring back
I love a Lamington.
You know what? Like fucking the one thing I miss about living in a regional town, because I lived in Griffith, Toowoomba, Canberra, Newcastle, Sydney, like 8 years. There are no local bakeries in Sydney where you can just get a pastry.
Yeah.
And a Lamington.
Just a basic.
Or like an egg and lettuce sandwich.
Yeah, that won't happen probably.
No, but I can get 18 types of Vietnamese, which I'm not complaining about. But would I like a saucy? Absolutely. Can you please put in the bio of this show, like, raw with Keshni Kemp and Tanya Hennessy chatting depression and sausage rolls?
I promise you. And you were meant to be on I'm a Celeb, Get Me Out of Here.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't go?
No, because my pop passed away at the end of the year and I was like, and I also had a suicide friend took his life and I was like, I just cannot. And I knew that I wouldn't have been my best self in there because I would have been thinking about that and like,
and everything's amplified.
And I felt like I couldn't put that onto the audience and I couldn't put that onto the other people there. I couldn't do it to myself.
Yeah. Like, too much. Just too much. Hard basket.
Yeah. And I'm pretty hard on myself in terms of like, get back up, go. But that was one of those times, you know, I said I allow myself to feel it. That was a good example of self-care where I was like,
nah. And you know, my gut told me, my manager was like, go, like, it'll be fine. Mm. And everyone was like, you'll be fine. And I was like, I just can't. And I just knew it. Mm. And I listened to my instincts. And I think that's a good one. Don't you reckon?
100%. Totally.
Like, I'm freaking out. I can't do this. Like, mm-hmm. stop. Otherwise, yeah. you'll have some breakdown at Subway again.
In the jungle. And that's not the right place.
Or the jungle. Or the also, jungle. I think the other thing they were like, oh, you know, it's 1,200 calories a day. I was like, oh, fuck.
Who do you look up to? Who inspires you the most?
Oh, well, my recently departed pop was like everything, still is. He was an entertainer and a singer and a radio announcer. And he passed at 92 and he was like the fucking baller, best person alive. I went to see him in hospital like the week before he died. And I was like, how are you? And he was like, there's birds having sex outside. I was like, you, perfect. My friend, are the best person alive, like the funniest person. So he does and he continues to do so. I still like feel him. I know that sounds super weird. My pop and my boyfriend and any female who is doing stand up and doing comedy and doing it well.
And what is the dream for you? What would be the dream career?
I just want to make people laugh and tell great stories and not necessarily my own. I feel like I've told my own enough. I want to tell other people's stories and make the world happier. Life is hard, you know. After everything that happened in New Zealand recently, it's like there needs to be some light. And I don't know. If I can do anything to help make the world lighter for someone, then I feel like maybe that's what I'm here to do.
That's a great line to finish on.
Yeah. I just want to tell great stories and be funny. And if I can be paid to do that, obviously that would be great. Cause like,
girls got to eat sausages and donuts. They don't come for free.
I just can't be homeless because I did that for so long. You know, like I lived on people's couches and everything, you know. But I'd love to have a TV show and I'd love to show different women at different sizes and different races and different ethnicities and just being fucking ballers. It's not about that. It's about what's a great story, what's funny, what's relevant, and how can we connect.
I love it. Thank you so much, Tanya.
I love you, Kashni.
You also.
Let's get a snuzzy.
And a donut.
Thank you for listening to Raw Talks. If you enjoyed the podcast, be sure to like, rate and subscribe. And of course, share with friends too.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.